You're listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 267 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, where on today's episode, we're going to be talking to Cheryl B. Englehart and how to harness the power of your fans to accomplish a goal. My name is Kevin Bruner. I'm the host of the show, and it's going to be a good episode. I know a lot of artists are trying to figure out, how do I get my fans motivated to take actions that help build my career, whether it's just listening to your music, whether it's getting them on board to help you attain a goal like what Cheryl set before herself, and that was to be nominated for a Grammy. Whatever your goal is, I think you're going to find something interesting and some ideas in this interview. Before we get to that, though, I want to remind you that if you have music you're trying to get out for the holiday season, by the time you hear this, it may be too late. Well, it's not really ever too late, but time is of the essence. Go to cdbaby.com and get it distributed immediately, whether it's a new album or a song you're trying to get out in time for the holiday rush. Whatever it is, get over there now. Also, this is the time of year when people are doing a lot of music promotion and thinking about how to make their music go further. We have some great tools for you at CD Baby. Many of them are free. Even if you don't use CD Baby for distribution, just go to cdbaby.com, create an account, and right there on the dashboard is a link for free marketing tools. Click on that, and you'll get Show.co, our marketing platform, for free. It has great tools like Spotify pre-saves and email in exchange for download tools and follow in exchange for goodies, all sorts of stuff. Plus, we have our quick link tool here now that is a great place to send your fans so they can get linked to all the right places. All right, with all that said, let's get to my interview with Cheryl. So let's set the stage for our conversation today. We're talking about leveraging your fans to reach a goal, and you've had this goal of building up towards a Grammy nomination. So why don't you just start us out, like, what was the original thought of the idea and how you started to pursue this goal? And then, you know, there's so much that you've done along the way that I think is applicable to all sorts of ideas as an artist who wants to set a goal, put some things in place to try and achieve it. And tell us about what your initial goal was.
So 17 years ago, before I even had my first record out, I'm on my fifth, a friend of mine gave me a coffee table book, and it's called "And the Grammy Goes To." I'm actually looking at it because it's there. Each of my speakers on my studio desk sits on a pile of books rather than speaker stands. And they're all inspiring books for some reason or another. And sort of planted this idea in my, and I think that was the year that the Grammys were on my birthday in February. And so that's why she got me this book. And I was like, that's funny. I'm just starting to write songs. Like, who knows? That could be a funny thing to go after. Just planting little baby seeds, right? And then the rest of my 20s were spent, like, my passwords for everything was like Grammy by 30, Grammy or bust. Like, it kind of became like a little bit of a obsession for no particular reason other than the seed was planted in my head. And I was like, well, that seems like a goal to work towards. And, 30 came and went and no Grammy. I was doing stuff in the pop realm, right? So, I finally got able to submit and get my records on the Grammy ballot. And I was submitting in pop. So it was like me and 1,500 other albums, including Taylor Swift and Kesha. And, it was kind of, it felt silly. It felt silly at the time. But I was just like, well, let's just take actions of someone who's up to getting nominated for a Grammy and see what the side effects are, meaning see what other things happen. And that meant touring, and that meant getting some licenses, and that meant getting on a couple of charts here and there and trying to do stuff. And like, even though the Grammy hadn't shown up, I was still doing things and taking actions along the lines of, this is what you would be doing if that was something that you were going after, which I was. Fast forward to last year, and I went to this composer residency, an artist residency, and I was the composer there. And I was going with the intention of actually writing a choral record, like writing the text and like maybe doing a little bit of the music. I just had this little travel mic with me. And I show up and they're like, here's your studio. And it's like this gorgeous piano in a stone room with this like ridiculous room tone reverb sound. And I was like, and we're doing a piano album. Like that was, I was like, this is happening. We're going to figure out how to make this little mic do the best job it possibly can. And out of that came this record Luminary, which is sort of an, I mean, I was doing weird stuff like plucking piano strings and reversing the audio. And I brought a bell. So I had this little like meditation type of bell thing. And I was basically like, let's just write something to like help out my anxiety, because I had struggled with anxiety for the past 10 years, may or may not have had something to do with the fact that I had this like ridiculous goal for an entire decade and never hit it. Who knows? You could, I mean, the therapist out there could go to town on this one. But long story short, I was like, let's write something that could maybe soothe that. And out popped Luminary. So this is my fifth record, and it's actually in the new age category. And I remember voting. I've been a Grammy Recording Academy member, Grammy voting member for about 5 years, gone twice, submitted one pop album. Obviously never nominated yet, but I remember looking at the smaller categories and like, oh, there's 103 or 130 records in here instead, in this category, instead of 1300 and 1400. So I was like, maybe I can pick this little goal up again that I kind of put aside for, you know, the past 6-7 years. So that's kind of where we're at. I don't remember your question.
You answered my question.
Okay, good. Oh, I'm great.
My question was just setting us up for the conversation about your goal, and
yeah,
you just did that. So
there you go. Yeah. So it kind of became like a game.
So you looked at it, you said, you know what, the genre that I'm in for this record, it's far more doable. You're not up against Taylor Swift.
Yep.
I am
up against Nine Inch Nails and the Dalai Lama, because they have New Age records out. So, but that's fun. That's fun.
How can those two be in the same category?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's what my job is. I think my job is to smooth that out a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. Like, yeah, there's like 150, or you mentioned a number like that, that much more doable. So from there, how did you start turning that into action items to really, use your fan base to help build momentum here?
Yeah. So when the record was coming out, so I recorded it last year, I mixed it myself, and then I started doing a pretty hardcore pre-sale, pre-save campaign. It was coming out February 7th of this year. And I had a very specific, in my head, I was like, there's a two-part game I'm playing here. One, get on the Billboard charts. And then two, leverage that I was on the Billboard charts to help the talk around getting a Grammy nomination. And this was a little arbitrary. I just, again, like kind of, you know, I always get the Billboard issue, like the actual magazine for the Grammy, because all the Grammy voters get the Grammy issue, the preview issue, where they show you a bunch of different ads and articles on potential Grammy nominees, right? So I always go through that with like a fine tooth comb every year. It's like the thing I go to start to go listen and see what's out there. So I just had it in my head that that's part of the process. So I started telling my fans like, hey, I have a goal for this release, and that's to get the week that it's released to get on the Billboard chart. And then I had to do some education. Like, here's what that means. Because a lot of my fans were like, cool, that sounds fun. What do I do? And I realized that in order to, like, it's one thing to have a goal. And I think that's the number one thing that a lot of musicians are missing. They like want to make it and get their music, quote, out there. But that's so nebulous and could mean so many different things to so many different people. And if your fans don't know what that is exactly to you, they're not going to know how to help. And so I discovered that when I first like sent an email out saying, I'm announcing that I have this record. It's in a totally different category. I know you're my fans of like my piano pop stuff, but like, stick with me here. This is going to be a fun little journey and I'm going to take you along. And I was like, and I decided that I'm going to play this game of getting on the Billboard chart for the New Age. And I started getting responses like, that's awesome. How can I help? And I needed to have an answer. So I ended up, you know, at the time, and they have sent 3 weeks before the record was changed, Billboard changed how they calculate the new age chart. So it used to be sales. Now it's much more heavily skewed towards streaming. So it's a different game. But at the time, I was like, oh, it's all about sales on these particular platforms. So each week I would change up what I was inviting people to do, like purchase, pre-order on, you know, iTunes, pre-order on Amazon, pre-order on Bandcamp, stream it on Spotify. Like I had different things, and I ended up making this like 9-point checklist, like the Luminary checklist, I called it. And it was like, if you have some money here, go purchase it on these sites. If you have some time here, share this tweet and share it, like write this thing. If you have, if you use this, like I just gave all these options. And then I was like, if you do all of these things, it will cost you $21 and take you 7.5 minutes. Like I basically like made a little chart, and I was like, which ones have you done? And if you've checked all the boxes, like screenshot it to me, and like I'll send you the free like demo. Like I made it a whole thing, right? And just got really, really, really clear with them the different things that they could do that would help get this record on the Billboard chart. So they changed the rules, and I didn't get on the Billboard chart, but I did get number one on iTunes, number one on Amazon, in New Age for like weeks and weeks and weeks, not just the week it was released. And that was super cool. And a side effect of just taking those actions, even though I didn't hit it. So my whole thing was like, hey, we were playing this game. We didn't get number one on Billboard, but does that mean that we lost the game? And I personally believe that the answer is a very strong no. We didn't win it, but that doesn't mean we lost it. So that was the first part of getting that goal. And then people were like, well, why the Billboard chart? And I was like, because if I get on the Billboard chart, I can leverage that and get it in front of people that are voters, because voters look at the Billboard charts and blah, blah, blah. And then we can go back to that 17-year dream of getting nominated for a Grammy and get that back into play. And so that was, that's sort of how we went that way. If you ask anyone in my life, fans, social media, people who follow me, anyone, like what's the one thing Cheryl wants? I think literally 100% of the people would be like, oh, Grammy nomination. Yeah. It's very clear. Very clear. Like super, super freaking obvious.
Well, but before we go any further, I want to highlight something you mentioned that would be easy for people to gloss over and miss, that I think was very key to your whole experience of what you just talked about and getting shooting for a Billboard, is that you actually have been a participant. You mentioned being a Grammy voter, but also understanding, taking the time to understand how the system works, and that, oh, there's this potential. There's this one Billboard magazine that a lot of people reference. So timing everything when that comes out could be key. And so I really appreciate the fact that you took the time and really understood and dissected how these things work and understanding before you just started taking stabs at it. Because I think a lot of artists get frustrated because they go after a goal, but they really haven't taken the time to dive in and just, you know, be an observer for a while, participate, knowing that it's not their time just yet, and understanding. And then when they actually have time, money, resources, and new music, that they are prepared with all the knowledge they need to make the best choices possible.
Yeah, I think this is really true. And a lot of this stuff is a learning process. And some of the learning you do want to do ahead of time. I think that's really true. And then some of it you're doing it while, like I'm learning so much while I'm in this pretty hardcore Grammy campaign. I'm like, I learned all the rules and things you can say and can't say. Like I really like honor the etiquette and the Recording Academy, and also just kind of like, okay, well, what are other people doing? And then what are they not doing that I'm not seeing? Like what's possible? And that led me in June to look into, okay, so the record was released. It was on these charts. Pretty cool. All right. Voting for first round of Grammys like starts in September. So I've got now to September to kind of like get it out there. So what do I do? And my first thought was I should look up what it takes to get one of those Billboard ads in the magazine that I've been looking at for years, and like that I use as my go-to to start, where to start listening, right? And I was like, oh, they're probably like so much money. It's probably the stupidest thing I could do. Like, I don't like why this is dumb, but I'm just going to email them. I'm just going to see. And then they told me and I was like, whew, like I had to sit down and like get a, you know, cold washcloth. And then like when I recovered, I was like, do you have an indie price? And my mom always told me, if you don't ask, you never get. So I was like, let's see if, let me negotiate with Billboard, see if that's going to go well for me. So I did. And then I was like, I was still like, oh, I don't know. So I actually sent an email to my fan list. And the subject line was, is one of my better subject lines, I will say. It was, should I do it? And I just said, hey, you all know that I didn't hit Billboard. I'm not mad about it. I'm actually considering giving Billboard a lot of money to put an ad in their Grammy preview issue. But I'm not sure. Like, am I going to play this Grammy game? Like, I wrote this record for like calming anxiety. It was a project for me, and it's gotten picked up by all these meditation apps, and it's like doing a lot of really good things for thousands of people. Should I just stop it there, or should I try to do this Billboard ad? And I'm like, this is just what's going on in this. It was like 10 o'clock at night. I wrote this email, and I know I don't normally do like meandering. Like, I'm always very purposeful and clear on what the email, the intention of the email is, but I kind of just, it was a short little like just stream of consciousness. And I went to sleep and I woke up the next morning to more replies than I think I've ever gotten from an email. And not only were they like, yes, absolutely, you should do it. About 25 people were like, where do I send money for this? And I was like, what? And then one fan said, I will match $2,500 if the rest of your fans can raise $2,500, which would more than cover the cost of the indie rate for the Billboard ad. So I was like, all right, all I did was put a PayPal button on my website. I wrote back to my fans. I was like, I can't believe the response I got from this email last night. Here's a PayPal link. I will keep you informed. I don't have any like rewards or levels or anything. Like, I'm keeping this super simple. If you want to play this game with me, that would be amazing. And I'm going to go for it. And like, this Grammy is no longer mine. This will be ours. And we got that match hit within 48 hours.
Wow. How many donations did it take to get up there?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think it was like I think I have like 40s or 50s in my head. I should check. There were a lot of like $3, $5. A couple like people got like I don't want to say who, but someone got really clever and gave me $131.21. And I was like, what is that? It's the date of the Grammys, January 31st, 2021. Yeah. I was like, so some people had like, someone gave me like 33. That's how long like they've been married. Like everyone had like some like, I'm sending you good vibes with this number. So there were like so many of those, like very random numbers, which was really, really cool. Just getting that energy. And then there was the one fan that gave the $2,500, and no one gave more than I think a couple hundred dollars, or I think there was one $500 one. But yeah, it was really cool to keep it going. And I tried to find like a connection between PayPal and like one of those little thermometers that it would automatically go up, and I couldn't figure out how to do it. So I literally was just like checking every 10 minutes and would like manually go in and like color this digital thermometer. And I was like, it's real time, you guys. Sort of. it was very grassroots, like not techie.
Yeah. No, that's really cool, because I think the one thing, and you can comment about this, is how the level of your fans buying in may have increased the more they felt like they were along for the ride and a part of the outcome, and that there's some ownership there, as opposed to just, hey, I'm fan funding an album or something like that. They've totally. Felt very invested in like, let's help her do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I didn't fan fund the record. I mean, like I said, I created that record for free, essentially.
I just threw that out as an example. Like,
it's a really good example. It's a really good example. And I think that like either way, if I had fan funded the record, which I have done in the past, my last two pop records were both fan funded. And I hit both of those goals. They're around 20 and 25,000 each. And like through this, you know, and my fan list, by the way, everyone listening, it's not like thousands and thousands of people. Like I used to tour and I got most of the people on my list while I was touring and then just kind of like loved on the people I had. I know a lot of people are, and you know, I love talking about email and I have a whole course on it and everything. And there are ways to do it right and ways to do it wrong. But in terms of like growing my list, it actually has not been, as an indie artist, you can't do everything all at once, right? But it's not been something that I really focused on because I really wanted to make sure that I was keeping the people that were there really, really in on everything and keeping them for the long haul. And so, you know, this list is not, like I said, it's not 10,000 people. It's like around 2,000, under 2,000 people. And then I did a little bit of social posts in that 48 hours, but this all came from really directly from my email list.
Did the bill, I'm assuming the Billboard ad has already run.
It has already run. So there were two, actually. One in June, it was like the preview. And then the second one was just, it's in the most recent September issue. Lady Gaga's on the cover. And it's a full page ad. It is remarkable to me. It's actually the only new age full page ad. Like at first I was like, maybe I'll be the only indie new age or maybe the only female because there's a lot of dudes in this genre. Like maybe I'll be the only female new age. It was the only new age full page ad. And I was like, that's really cool. And I'm getting emails from people from like kind of famous people being like, hey, I saw your ad in Billboard. I'm really psyched to support you. I'm like, what? Like kind of losing my mind. And, you know, support can mean like a lot of things. It doesn't necessarily mean like you have my vote. You're not allowed to say that. Like there's because they don't want to imply that there's a tit for tat. You know, yes, you cannot yes. do that. Like yes. not allowed. But just like the idea that someone would take the time to say, hey, I saw this and like go you was like, okay, that was worth it right there. So yeah, it is running. It's on page 158. It's like right in the middle, which is really kind of cool. And yeah, it felt so good to see it and hold it and know that this was not something that I just like did on my own. It was like, hey, this is what my fans gifted to me. That's sort of how I've been phrasing it. They kind of came up with it on their own. Like it wasn't something I was going to go out and fan fund. It was all very, I think it all comes down to the fact that they knew that the one thing I wanted, the one thing I want is a Grammy nomination. And they're like, hello, this is the thing you want, right? That you've been talking about for 17 years on this email list. So I think that clarity worked so much in my favor that I didn't even have to say it. They just showed up.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool. So any other things that you've done for this goal to leverage your fans in order to, I mean, we're coming up on the finish line for mm-hmm. the nomination process. We're recording this on a Friday. We should be getting this episode up pretty quickly, but when do the nominations actually, the voting end?
Yeah, so there's two rounds of voting. This first round, if you're eligible, you can submit, anyone can submit a recording if you're eligible. And this first round is where you can choose, where people vote to choose the nominees. And then once the nominees are announced, then there's a second round of voting where we vote for the winners. And that's what you see on January 31st of next year, which will be the announcement of the winners on TV or however they're going to do it. So this is the first round, and the first round of voting ends October 12th, the end of the day. And then the next round starts up December 2nd or 7th, I think. And somewhere in there, they'll announce here are the people that, you know, in our category, 100 and however many down to the five that were nominated officially. Mm-hmm.
So is there anything that you're doing? You ran the ads. Is there any other marketing outreach that you're doing to try to reach potential voters? I know you said that there's certain things you can and can't say, and it's and being respectful of that. What does that look like? I mean, how are you trying to continue to move things forward? Especially, you know, I know labels have people that will be like doing a lot of outreach, sending out special stuff and making sure that key people are in the know that their artist is nominated.
Yeah, I definitely see like emails and stuff like that from, you know, people that manage other artists and letting them know about their nominations. I think in the past, there have been a lot of like in-person networking events and some advice I got from someone before the COVID stuff started was like, just go to all the networking events, meet as many people as possible. But now that that's not a thing that's happening, I've just been, it's been a lot of like one-to-one emails. And there are a couple of Facebook groups and things like that where there are, you know, concentrations of people that are members of the Recording Academy where people post their links and which is really great because you're like, who do I want to listen to? And you can't, I mean, especially you can't listen to 1400 records in one category. So who are you going to listen to? And so that's been a really good place to kind of reach out to people. I created a little, like Excel sheet basically. So anytime someone emails me or messages me on Facebook or Instagram, their link, their FYC link, for your consideration link, there, I'm able to grab that link, you know, type in what category they're in and then make sure I get to listening in to it. And I basically took like 3 days and sat down and was like, okay, I'm going to listen. And I wrote back to everyone. I've listened to about 170 albums, not all the way through. I think that would be impossible, but definitely spot listened throughout all the albums and found something to write back to about, something I connected to. And people are really surprised. They're like, oh my God, thank you so much for saying that about, like, and I'm like, is not everyone doing this? Why would you not? Like, these are people that could, like, you want to build these relationships. So I think it all comes back to like, just what are you willing to do? And I kind of just put everything aside for 2 weeks as I'm getting all these emails and sending them out as well. I'm being really respectful of just making sure that people know that it's not a mass email for me. There are like email lists and things. And I've done a couple like blasts that people do, like email blast things. I've done that, not through my own list, cause I don't have a list of Grammy voters. But yeah, it's been I think most of the work I've been doing has been like just posting on social media. A lot of my, you know, little clips and short little cute movie things I've made. I made a behind the scenes of actually making the record in Greece and, you know, battling the really noisy cicadas and things to like humanize it a little bit. So I've just been posting those so that if anyone does want to do some research on my record and they land on one of my social sites, they'll see that that's like where my head is at. And that's the focus right now.
Cool. And so they, you said voting ends, which if from the time we're recording would be next week, but
yeah.
When do they announce?
I don't know. I'm not sure when they announce when they're going to announce. I may just be missing something, but I've looked everywhere and every year it's a different time. It's a different day. So I'm going to look into that and find out, but, you'll know if you follow me on social media, you'll know.
they'll be screaming.
There'll be something for sure. Copious amounts of champagne in my Amplify group. We call any goals for the month or whatever champagne wins. So it's such a specific goal that your friends know when to break out the champagne. So it's really to like wean us off of the, I want more followers. Like, okay, cool. Your mom just followed you. Do we break out the champagne? Probably not. So it's like, oh, I want 100 more Spotify listeners or 250 more people on my email list, or like there's some sort of end measurable result and a buy when. So we call those champagne goals. So this Grammy nomination, it is a champagne win. So there will be champagne for sure.
Excellent. Excellent. So unless you have something else to say about, you know, what you've done in this process, I'd love to hear just some general thoughts and advice for artists that have a big goal like this, some things you learned along the way of, whether it be with this or other goals you've had that might be helpful for an artist that's just trying to really put a goal in action and taking something that feels lofty and big and taking the steps to really drive it forward.
Yeah, I think that's really great. I think it's something that we gloss over and we hear about goal setting and all that stuff. And you're like, yeah, I'm just like trying to pay the rent and like try to doing it with music, you know? So we tend to be, and I say we, because this was me for a very, very long time until about the past year. I always try to do a lot of different things. I always have a lot of different projects trying to, you know, generate income in a lot of different ways. So it's a very short-sighted game to be an indie musician full-time. Even if you're not full-time and you're working towards that or you found some balance. So to just give yourself a little time to allow the long-term game to kind of just plant itself in your brain and just let yourself dream for a minute and see what, without worrying about how you're going to get it or the money you need or what, just like, what does it look like in that perfect world? If I hit you over the head with a magic wand, which is, I know not how magic wands work, but if you had that opportunity, like what would that be? And then once you can define that, cool, then you got the goal. But I think even before getting the goal is, or taking actions for a goal is to actually get that. The second thing I would say, once you are clear on like, hey, this, whether it's like, I'm going to play arenas in 7 years, and that's the like very, very long-term goal, or if it's like, I'm going to get 1,000 subscribers on my email list, or I'm going to like, whatever it is, say it out loud. I think accountability is really, really huge. And is one of the reasons I actually think I've gotten so much momentum this year is because when COVID hit, I turned my monthly, like one call a month, mastermind group into a daily thing for 3 months. We went live on Zoom every single day. And to be able to just like say out loud and really articulate, you get very, very good and very, very clear in terms of what you want. If you can say it really clearly, other people are going to just get it, right? And I think that's what happened with my email list. But also, I mean, there is science behind, if you share out loud a goal with someone, you are 39% more likely to get the goal. And if you share weekly updates with someone out loud, whether or not they are helping you, or like, it can be anybody, but if you're saying something out loud and sharing weekly progress, you're 76% more likely to get that goal. It's like, hello, no brainer. Like if someone was like, I will give you a 76% chance that you are going to get a Grammy nomination. Well, all you got to do is say it out loud and share it with someone. You have to get over all of those fears and the, what if I don't get it? What if I look stupid? Do you know how hard it is for me to right now to be like, oof, by the time people listen to this, like we may know if I got nominated now, and I'm going to feel really stupid, like really stupid if I don't. I'm working so hard and like coming out from underneath the indie, like all of the, you know, things stacked against me, like I'll feel really dumb, but you have to get over that so that you can say it out loud so that you can have that lovely little 76% statistic working in your favor. So
yeah,
I think that having that kind of trust with a group is really important.
Yeah. And I don't think I know what you mean by, because I've been there as well, where you say something out loud and then it doesn't happen sometimes and you're like, I feel kind of dumb. But at the same time, when I've been in those situations and I've looked back, I'm like, yes, I maybe didn't hit this, but man, I sure accomplished a lot along the way. There were also pretty great wins as well.
Totally. I experienced that with the billboard thing. Like I sat down on my kitchen floor with my Basset Hound and made a video and posted it live. And I was like, we worked so hard for this billboard thing and it did not happen, but here's some things that did happen. And I know right now that the work I'm doing, that this billboard ad, this, all this stuff is like, whether or not it turns into a nomination now, I think there is some sort of universe, divine timing. It's working towards this game that I'm playing. And whether it's this year or another, I hope it's this year. I mean, for the love, I really do. Like, it's ridiculous. But that being said, I think that there's definitely wins along the way that are building just part of the process and part of the career and part of the journey.
Yeah. So even with your billboard ad that you ran and you know, what you've done, what would you say are some of the things or doors that may have opened up or things that you've noticed that before you even find out if the nomination happens that you would maybe chalk up to, hey, this is a side benefit to this goal that I wasn't anticipating, but that's been really cool?
Yeah. The first thing that comes to mind is just like so many musicians that I have a reason to connect with that I never would have connected with before. I mean, people in different genres, in different categories, who have just like extraordinary music that I'm now like excited to listen to, even though that's not normally what I listen to. It's definitely not what I create. And just sort of seeing the camaraderie and the kindness from other creators has been like really, really huge. It's been a little overwhelming just because of the numbers. It's been so much, but it's been really, really remarkable. And it's especially in this time when like we're so isolated, it's been feeling like, oh man, there are so many creators out there so passionate about their projects. I'm not alone. And like, it's just been really nice to do these emails back and forth and these little Instagram messages and however we're communicating. And so that's been like the number one benefit in this particular like voting process that I've really been adoring.
If for an artist that's, you know, everyone listening to this podcast, they're all in different places in their career. And is there some sort of like test or some sort of measurement if your goal is maybe too lofty or maybe not big enough? Or how do you know that you don't want to create some goal that you know is impossible or impossible in the time frame that you're trying to reach it? How do you kind of give a check on whether or not your goal is big enough so it makes you stretch and reach, but not beyond what you can actually attain?
Yeah, I feel like you are you're not this is probably not the right interview. I don't think I'm the right person to answer that because I was the person that before I even had a record, the Grammys happened to be on my birthday, and I was like, maybe I should go out for a Grammy. So just a reminder that that's who you're talking to. But that being said, I think you got to really connect your brain to your heart and make sure that the brain isn't like, I can do this. This is manageable. I'm going to do this. If your heart is like, yeah, okay, whatever. But if your heart's like, ooh, that feels challenging and scary. And your brain is like, but I think we can do it. We don't know how yet, but I think we know how to find out how. And if there's a little bit of like, ooh, that is outside the bubble. Anytime you push those edges of where your comfort zone is, where your bubble is, that's how you expand. And I think that's how you grow and transform and level up. So I think just kind of tune into what you're feeling about, and also like on the logical side, what would getting this goal do for you for the rest of the rest of the career? Cause I assume that most people that are like, I know I'm a musician, I'm in this for the long haul, are not just thinking like, okay, when I get the Grammy nomination, for example, then I'm done. I'm going to hang up my little shoes. Like that's not it for you. Like someone asked me that, hey, like, well, what's after the Grammy nomination? Like, are you just like done? You've been talking about this for 17 years. And I was like, oh no. And I like had like a whole list, and I think they were sorry they asked because I was like, this is what I'm going to do with that. And this is why this is important to me. And this is how I'll leverage it. And these are the other projects I want to do. Like, I was like, I always am looking at, okay, cool. Now what's next? So if you're not thinking about how the goal that the thing that you want, the one thing that you want would make a difference for other things that you want, start to connect those dots. I think that will also help you focus in on, especially if you're multi-passionate and you always have a lot of projects going on, which I know a lot of us do. I'm definitely one of those. It's really, really important to be able to focus on the one thing that needs to happen right now, the one goal that you're going to go after so that it can leverage all the other things that you want to have happen.
I like putting the way you put it in that framework of, this is intended to help me leverage other things. And I think when you say it that way, that's a good indicator of whether or not your goal is aligned with reality. And I don't mean reality of what you can attain, but if it's like, if I threw out some random goal, like I'd love to win the Super Bowl. Well, that's not happening. And I'm not even doing anything in order to achieve that, or that doesn't really fit in with where I'm going. So I think, you know, sometimes when I talk to artists, there's things they want, but they really haven't aligned that with the work they're doing. And then once they achieve that, how that will help them springboard onto something else. And I think that's a good way to look at it.
I think you can also ask people in your life, like say, hey, I have this goal. Can I tell you what it is? And then after you tell them what it is, ask the question, do you believe me? And if they're not like, because right now when you just said to me, like, I want to win the Super Bowl, like the way you said it and like the energy in your voice, I'm like, yeah, right. I don't believe you. Like when I'm like, I am playing a game to get a Grammy nomination. Like, do you believe me? Like, yes, you believe me. Right. People in your life that know you really well know when you're lit up by something and know when it's it's sort of got staying power. So if you're not sure, like, try it out. Like, again, try it out out loud.
Cheryl, that was my lit up voice. You should hear when I'm really mellow.
That's funny. I like it.
And that those people that you get feedback from should probably be other people than just your mom, because your mom will always say yes.
Oh my God. My mom doesn't understand why I haven't been on the Ellen show yet. There's a thing about the Ellen show, but yes, it's actually one of the things that we do in Amplify, like every week. We get into breakout rooms and you just say, like, no matter who's in the room, if you've never met them before, it doesn't even matter. You just say your thing out loud and like you get to practice sharing that out loudness, because that's what you're going to do on social media. That's what you're going to do on your email list to your fans, like sharing what you're up to. And if you're lit up by it, if you are inspired by it, it's like, it's very rare where someone else is like, oh, you're so inspiring, please go away. Like, people are inspired by other passionate people. So many people go through their lives with these boring jobs or, you know, just like kind of like robots. And we are passionate about what we do. We musicians, we're the lucky ones. So it's very rare where people don't want to hear that. So you just need to get skillful at communicating that. And it is a skill, and it comes easily for some and not for others, even though that passion is there. So the more you can practice with people, the better.
Exactly. Well, do you have any final thoughts before we close this out? And we'll all be hanging and waiting to see how the final results go.
I mean, I have so many thoughts. I don't think that's a great question to ask me if you wanted to actually end this. So I will just end there for you.
All right. So if people aren't following you on social media already, where can they find you?
I'm pretty much CBE Music everywhere. Instagram is definitely like my fave these days. And if you want to check out the Luminary record I'm talking about, you can go to cbemusic.co/luminary, and has all the little links. You can get a free song, all the jazz there.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll be watching those socials to see when I'm sure there will be an uptick.
There will be things. Am I allowed to say also, I've mentioned it a couple times, like sort of semi unintentionally, that if you are a musician and like want an accountability group, like I have one, can I tell people?
Yeah, you can tell them about
it's
it.
It's called Amplify. I think I've said that already. You can go to inthekey.co/amplify. I let people in twice a year. So you might get on the wait list there, and then I'll let you know about it.
All right. And, you know, we do have people that listen that are Grammy voters. So Cheryl, well, the Englehart page, is up for your consideration.
True. Yeah. If you go to the Luminary page and you are a voter, there is a link to go to the voter specific link where you can consider it.
Yes.
For your new
age. That is the correct word to use. Consideration.
Yes.
All right.
I've practiced that part, by the way, so I'm not breaking any rules whatsoever.
All right. Well, Cheryl, thanks for being on the podcast, and I look forward to seeing the goal continue, even if it's not this year. The goal will live on.
I love it.
And hopefully we'll get to see you at a conference sometime soon, and whether it's one of ours or just somewhere, I miss that. I miss it.
Well, thank you so much. This has been amazing. I really appreciate you, and thank you everyone for listening, for your space, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.